Draft, and you might be asking, Dalton, where the hell is Corey at? Well, Corey is traveling. Corey could not make it, so I am flying solo for this episode, and we are going to get right into it. I don't have to ask Corey how he's doing. It doesn't matter. He's not here. He will be tomorrow, but we are going to get into it. Today, we are going to talk about really just one of the college football games that I and we saw this weekend. I'm going to get into a second one very quickly just so I can talk about the quarterback play in that game specifically, but I really wanted to talk about the Oregon game against Ohio State. The Oregon win against Ohio State, something that I did not see coming before this game began. I thought Ohio State was going to win this game pretty handily, and I have thoughts because I have watched every single play of this game. I watched it from as broad of a spectrum as I could to kind of catch, like, hey, what caught my eye on each one of those plays. And I have notes upon notes upon notes because there were so many draft eligible guys in this game. And we need to talk about the good. We need to talk about the bad. But first, we are going to get to helmet stickers because there are a few players from this game. And listen, I have not watched as much college football to this point here on Monday evening recording this as I normally do because I spent so much time on this Oregon and Ohio State game. Also, my life is turned upside down right now. I'm about to head back to the United States on Wednesday on a somewhat of an emergency. Everything's okay, but I'm heading back to the United States. Anyways, helmet stickers. I want to start off with a name that was not on my radar at all before this week. And that is Kansas State edge rusher Brendan Mott. Mott, watched him. Don't know how great of an athlete he is. Don't know if he will be somebody who is able to elevate himself outside of like that mid to late day three range. He doesn't really have the juice of somebody who is an undersized edge rusher. But what I really liked is how he used his length and how he set up and used his length to set up the left and right tackle at Colorado. He had a nasty little spin move on the right tackle to get a sack after really working that arc rush quite a bit. One up the arc a couple of times. Using that length, he was able to kind of duck underneath and show a little bit of bend. Like I said, a little bit of a more of an undersized guy listed at 244. Believe he is a fifth year or a sixth year guy, by the way, 23-year-old prospect, I believe is how old he is. So good player. The first sack that he had, or the PFF doesn't do half sacks, but they have two sacks for him. The first one was a little bit of a time merchant sack. It took a long time. He kind of ran down the quarterback who was trying to sneak out the right side and wasn't able to, but the second sack was pretty impressive. And on top of that, he did have 8 pressures on the game, and some of them were really high-quality pressures as well. So definitely wanted to shout him out. Also, I feel the need to shout out Penn State tight end Tyler Warren, who had 17 catches for 244 yards and a touchdown. And this is in a game that Penn State was down for a majority of this game and came back, ended up winning it in overtime. But he needed to have this sort of game if they were going to win it. And they came out, won the game 33-30. He had, again, 17 catches for 244 yards. We've talked about Tyler Warren quite a bit on this podcast and talked about how explosive he is as an athlete, what kind of a mismatch weapon he is for this Penn State offense, and what he is going to be at the next level, because this is somebody who, with his size at like 6'5", 260 pounds, we are talking about a more prototypically sized tight end with pretty special athleticism. And this is at a Penn State program. You know he's going to test out of the waters here. He's going to be one of the highest tight ends taken in this class. And in a good tight end class, and I don't think enough people are talking about it with guys like Colson Loveland, guys like Gunnar Helm, and then you also have Harold Fannin Jr., Tyler Warren. Like, there are a bunch of dudes at the top. We're talking in the first two rounds, in my opinion, is where kind of the talent lies here with these guys. And Tyler Warren, man, with the athleticism, if he keeps putting up numbers like this, you can kind of push the blocking aside for now, because he is a former quarterback. He didn't grow up blocking. He grew up throwing passes. He grew up running the triple option. So if it takes a little bit of time for him to figure that out at the NFL level, you can use him as a big slot. You can use him as an H-back, put him in motion and use him in that manner, so he's not always on the line. As a 260-pounder, you would like to see him have a little bit more functional strength, but it is what it is. He is a weapon, and it is a passing league still, even though the run game is kind of having a resurgence. Being that size, having that athleticism, being able to be a route runner like he is really special. And so I do think that he could end up pushing for tight end one by the end of this draft cycle. My next guy, Oregon left tackle Josh Connerly Jr., somebody who I talked about it on the podcast on Friday when we did the preview episode. Guy I am lower on, or was lower on, will still probably continue to be lower on, just because I don't think JT Tuimoloau is a very good pass rusher. And he really struggled as a run defender in this game as well. And what I mean by that is I don't think that he has a truly special trait as a pass rusher. And PFF, I think, charted him as having like 7 pressures in this game. I didn't think that he played that well, especially against Connerly, where he was lined up for most of the game. I don't really know where those pressures came from. He did win a couple of reps, and I did see that lack of core strength show up when JT really went to the speed to power and was able to get to Connerly's chest. But with all of that power, with all of that strength and explosiveness and size from JT, Connerly absolutely abused him in the run game. Whenever Oregon needed a play, they ran left. And it wasn't just Connerly. It was Connerly. It was light boxes from Ohio State. It was clever motion from Oregon's offense to really open up the box and get guys in one-on-one situations or be able to down block. And he was just blocking end man on the line for most of the game. And we had these Ohio State edge rushers, specifically JT, kind of coming off the edge and looking like they were going to arc rush, and then just having Connerly absolutely wash them out of the play and create a hole the size that a semi-truck could fit through. For, is it Jordan Jones? I can't remember offhand. Jordan James, the running back from Oregon, who surprised me as well, somebody who was not on my radar, but when I sat down and I watched this game, maybe not, doesn't have like the super long juice, but he's got those really short strides and that really like conspicuous explosiveness through the hole. Like when he has to hit it, a little bit like Travis Etienne, and Etienne had a little bit more long speed than that. I want to give him credit for that. But that type of first level explosiveness to kind of surprise second level defenders into the hole, like did not understand that you would be there. He won a couple of angles that normal running backs don't win. And I think it had a lot to do with that short area explosiveness that he has. But Connerly was fantastic in this game, I thought. Definitely showed the warts in pass protection more than the run game, but he was dominating in the run game. And another guy on that offense that I need to give props to is Evan Stewart. I know Corey talked about him having a little bit of a down year here at Oregon, and I still don't love Dylan Gabriel. I don't think that he is an NFL quarterback. I don't think that he has the arm for it. But I'll tell you what, Evan Stewart was outrageous in this game. Denzel Burke is somebody who we've talked about on this podcast, and you know he might be a back half of the first round type of dude. He got absolutely exposed in this football game. And the numbers probably do it justice at the end of the day, because it was one of the worst games, and I'm just going to bring up the numbers. PFF has him as allowing 179 yards, 8 for 8 on receptions. None of this surprises me whatsoever. And some of these are like kind of gimme ones. There was a 3rd and 24 that he gave up to Evan Stewart on a 10-yard out route, but he got beat on a double move by Stewart. He got beat down the field by Tez Johnson as well. And it's like he was standing still. And we've seen this from time to time with Denzel Burke, is he has these super high-end moments, but then he has these super low lows as well. And it's like something with his preparation for games changes to where he's just a completely different player, and you don't have that consistency over time. And listen, it's really hard to play cornerback, and it's really hard to play cornerback, especially with the way that Ohio State teaches their guys to really focus on the underneath and kind of being aggressive with these stop routes and really trusting your eyes, being able to drive and close forward while still being able to carry vertically. He just was not able to carry vertically in this game at all. But Evan Stewart was fantastic. I mean, from top to bottom, his feet were phenomenal in this game. He caught everything that came his way. He was separating at will. He was the number one target for Oregon. He was absolutely dominant in this game, not just as a pure speed threat down the field, but as a three-level route runner. And that's what I really wanted to see from Evan Stewart so far this year, that we haven't seen as much from him. It'll come into play, I think, a little bit more during Big Ten play. It'll be fun to see this Oregon team kind of play on the road. And I know it's not always warm in Oregon either, but there's some really cold Big Ten football games on the road in December. So it will be interesting to see how this all shakes out at the rest of the Big Ten schedule. But one of the most talented wide receivers in this class, just physically, and he showed why in this football game. And then the last helmet sticker I want to give is, again, the same game, other team, on the defensive side of the ball. Tyleek Williams was outrageous. I mean, more, everything and more than he is built up to be as an NFL draft prospect. 320 pounds. Not the best pass rusher in the world. He's not the most dynamic guy when it comes to, like, he's not Derek Harmon, who, again, Oregon defensive tackle, had a fantastic game here as well. Saved an almost sure touchdown on a play where they had nobody in the box, and he got doubled and he got shoved, you know, 2 or 3 yards down the field, but he was able to re-anchor. He was able to get up under the shoulder pad of the center as the right guard climbed off of him to get to the linebacker. And he was able to disengage, make the tackle 5 or 6 yards down the field. But that 5 or 6 yard down the field tackle, which just looks like a tackle, it's not a stop, it's not a tackle for loss on the stat sheet. It doesn't look impressive on the stat sheet. But in the context of the game, he saved a touchdown there. So huge, huge from him. And he was disruptive all game in the backfield as well. He's not, you know, as consistent. And this is what I want to get into with Tyleek. Consistently dominant on that interior. Played quite a bit of three tech. And they actually had the other defensive tackle, number 58. I can't think of his name. Ty Hamilton right now. And play a lot of the one tech, and that's not the way it should be. I think Williams should be playing the one tech for them. I felt like Hamilton got bullied a little bit, and Williams, every time he was doubled, he was not bullied. He was not moving off of his spot. He is a heady run defender, and I think that that's something that defensive tackles don't get enough credit for, how mental that game is, or how quickly you have to be able to process what's happening in front of you, especially with these horizontal run concepts, because you need to see and react to what is happening in front of you in an instant, or you are getting reached by that offensive tackle. And this is something that we see at the NFL level with guys like Mozzie Smith, who are a little bit late off the tackle, a little bit late to process. And it's what we see with a lot of defensive tackles at the NFL level, and why it takes them a couple of years to really get it at the NFL level. Even with guys who are drafted very, very high, it takes them time to really become pros. But Williams really seems like a guy who already has it and can be a very good run defender at the NFL level immediately upon being drafted. And he was fantastic in this game against a really good offensive line for Oregon that opened up gaps running away from him for the most of the game. But I want to get to this game because I took hella notes for it. And I wanted to get to the Denzel Burke thing and the secondary in general, because number 7, and I'm going to have to look up his name here real quick because honestly, I forget it. I'm getting too old. It's Jordan Hancock. And I couldn't remember his name right away, but he was flying around the field early, man, coming downhill against these screens. And Oregon tried to run a lot of screens early, and then they figured out, hey, we can actually push the ball downfield against these guys. They're not, the pass rush isn't getting home. And when the pass rush was getting close to Dylan Gabriel, Gabriel was able to maneuver around the pocket and make a couple of plays down the field. And I don't think that he really has the arm for it. The ball, the way that it comes out of his hands is really ugly. The left-handed motion is horrendous. But he was getting the ball to where it needed to go in this game. I thought that he actually played really well in it. I thought number one for Ohio State, Davidson, I'm not going to even attempt to say his last name, but he's a junior. I felt like he had a pretty decent game overall. But yeah, Denzel Burke really struggled. I thought that overall, the linebacker play for Ohio State was really underwhelming. And then when you pair that with the Sawyer and JT really kind of getting bullied in the run game from time to time, it was just a really tough game for this defense when you also had supposed to be your best corner getting absolutely burnt down the field on the outside. And not just that, but Oregon really found answers to Ohio State's mostly middle of the field closed coverages, where they would take a route. Like, I mean, let's just say, just for an example, they like running dagger, which is a vertical route that kind of takes the safety away. And then they throw the ball behind the linebackers and underneath of the safety that is getting ran by, or getting taken out of the play by the clearing route down the field. And we saw a lot of that in this game as well. The linebackers just not able to get as much depth. Their safeties who were playing in the overhang, not getting depth down the field either. I felt like the safety play could have been a little bit more aggressive from Ohio State as well when it comes to the coverage side of things. There was a play where number eight, and I'm saying like number eight, and then I'm looking at their names. It's Ransom. I can't think of his first name right now. Lathan. Where there was a backside post, and there was nobody in his area of operation. The backside post was his area of responsibility to take that away, and he kind of just passively hung out with it, and then the ball was caught in front of him and he missed the tackle, and it became an even bigger play. I thought that Tez Johnson was fantastic in this game as well. Really electric with the ball in his hands. They tried to get him involved in the screen game quite a bit. He didn't have quite the impact that Evan Stewart had. He's not as good of an overall receiver, but if you need a slot guy, somebody who is going to be able to uncover him on third down, somebody who you can kind of get the ball to in screens, and if he has a little bit of space, he'll pick up first down. That's the kind of guy that you're looking at there. A little bit of a Cole Beasley type of player, in my opinion, from him. But man, like I can't get over how good Ty Leak looked in this game. And so I needed to bring that up as well. On the other side of the ball, you had number 71, which is Josh Simmons. And unfortunately, it looks like we lost him for the year. Donovan Jackson. And then number 90 for the Oregon Ducks, whose name escapes me right now as well, Jamari Caldwell. And listen, I enjoyed watching Derek Harmon play this football game. I felt like he has a little bit of Malik Collins to him, where he won't ever probably be a consistent run defender because he just doesn't really have the size. He doesn't really have the play strength to be a consistent run defender, even if he gets it from the mental side of things. But he can be a disruptive run defender. And in a one-gap scheme where you actually allow him to attack a little bit, which they allow him to attack in this defense, he is able to wreak havoc in the backfield. And that's what he did in this game. But I really, more than that, because they really operated quite a bit with him being in the three technique on the opposite side, on the right side of the offensive line quite a bit. So we didn't get to see him up against Simmons and Donovan Jackson very often. We saw him against the right guard, and they swung the right guards, two of them, one in the first half, I believe, and then one in the second half, and neither of them had any sort of answer for Harmon for the entire game. But I wish I could have seen more of 55 going up against 71 and 74, but I did get to see 90 Caldwell going up against 74 quite a bit, and that was a hog molly of a matchup. And there were a lot of double teams with the center with Simmons as well. Those two both, you know, kind of getting their hands on Caldwell. And it was a battle of pure Sunday football players right there. And I know there's a lot of talk right now on Twitter about the NFL game being better than the college game. And there's no doubt that the quality of football is better. But when you do get the chance in college football to see three, four pros going up against one another, and I talked about this game in the preview, I knew this battle specifically, the defensive line of Oregon versus the offensive line of Ohio State, would be a battle to watch, and it absolutely was. It was fantastic. It was unfortunate not to see Jordan Burch in this game. That would have been a lot of fun for Simmons as well. And like I said, unfortunately, it looks like we lost him for the season. But Jackson was fantastic in this game as well, offensively for Ohio State. They really wanted and liked to get him on the move, like pulling him out and letting him lead block on the outside and trying to get those athletic backs to the edge. And they were able to do it a couple of times, and I thought that Henderson had a better game than Judkins here. And I kind of continue to think that, where Judkins, good player, I just don't see what's special with Judkins, I guess, is where I kind of go with this. Like, I don't see, and my podcast co-host would tell you that contact balance is overrated. And to an extent, I agree, but if you're consistently going down on first contact, if you just don't have the oomph to bounce off guys, I don't see it consistently at all with Judkins, man. Henderson, you don't really see it with him as much either. Henderson has that juice to where if you can get him touches on the outside and he has a little bit of space, he's going to beat you. The other thing that I like to point out is Amika Egbuka in the backfield getting a couple of really interesting touches as a runner in this game, getting him the ball on the outside. They put him in a little fast motion where he motioned out and came back, and they gave him a sweep at full speed. He was able to get to the outside. Judkins actually threw a nice little lead block for him as well. I thought that was a nice little wrinkle to the offense. Overall, the passing attack is not very good. It's not very good. They obviously don't trust Howard very much with his arm, which, coming from what they had last year with Kyle McCord, and it's kind of tough to see Kyle McCord playing some really good football at Syracuse. Maybe he just needed that new environment, but maybe the environment at Ohio State just really isn't all that great for quarterbacks. As you know, maybe we thought it was with Stroud and with Fields, and obviously Fields hasn't worked as well at the NFL level, but Stroud I thought was QB1, but because of the way that he looked at Ohio State, which was not what we're seeing at the NFL level, because we were seeing a truly special player at the NFL level, even past what I thought that he could probably be, you're seeing these quarterbacks underperform at Ohio State a little bit, and that's just something to keep an eye on going into the future. Overall, it's tough to kind of get game flow from watching the tape, but going back and watching the broadcast of this game, which is the first thing I did, what a phenomenal college football game to watch. This was a lot of fun to watch overall. It was a good game. It was a close game. Battle between two of the best teams in the nation, two teams that I think could be playoff teams. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Ohio State and Oregon and Penn State, looking like three of the top, you know, six or so teams in college football, legitimately. So we'll be interesting to see, especially with the SEC kind of cannibalizing itself. But that's all I got for today, guys. I'm already at 20 minutes and I've talked by myself, and I'm a nasally dude in general. So that is starting to come up as well. I've done my best to now. And thank you guys so much for being here, for being around, for listening to the podcast. We will be back tomorrow with Dafter Draft. Remember, I love you. Bye.